And welcome to the show. This is Mark Avery with Shooting from the Hip. Jeff Pedro is with us. He's actually down in Middletown, so we'll have him on the phone in just a few minutes. I want to thank you for joining us, and I want to let you know that we're here from Sim Trainer, which is the Dayton's original and first indoor shooting range, and we have training that's going on. In fact, we had this morning we had a class, a first shots class, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Jeff Pedro, are you on the phone with us? We'd like to find out what's going down in Middletown. He'll be with us in just a minute. So let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are coming up in the next week at Sim Trainer. We have some classes coming up next week. Next Saturday, we have a basic handgun class. And for those who have taken our First Shots program, this is a wonderful way to step forward into the next level of handgun shooting. The basic handgun class steps up from the 22s that we use in the First Shots class and moves to personal protection caliber firearms, the 9mm or the 38, depending on whether you want a semi-auto or a revolver. The class runs about 5 hours, and we start it up right after the show is over. So if you're listening to the show this week, you know roughly when the class is going to start. And those of you who would like to come and join us, you can actually listen to the show at the range as we're getting ready for the class. This is also a perfect class for people who are interested in taking concealed carry and aren't real confident that they're ready to move into that level yet. Their handgun skills are maybe a little rusty, or it's very new for them. The basic handgun class is a perfect way to prepare for the concealed carry class. And actually, we have one of those starting the following Monday on the 17th of August. We have an evening class this month. It'll be Monday through Thursday evenings from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. or 9:30 p.m. roughly. And so if you'd like to get signed up for that class, you can call the range at 293-3914. If you'd like to join the show, give us a call here at the studio at 457-1290. Jimmy will take your call in the studio, and he'll get you up on the board, and we'll get you on the show. If you have a comment or a question about something to do with handguns or firearms in general, concealed carry, what the laws are, maybe some of the pending legislation, give us a call at 457-1290, and we'll get you on the show. Jeff, are you with us? He's down at Middletown, and Middletown Sportsman's Club is currently hosting two events today. One of them is the Maddie's Hope charity shoot for a cure for childhood cancer. And that's a shotgun program for either skeet or trap or sporting clays, or you can mix them up and do a little bit of each. That started this morning and it runs till about 4 o'clock. And then also they're running the regional cowboy championship, cowboy action shooting championship called the Guns of August. And that's been running actually since Thursday, and this is the regional championship, and they've been running pretty much all week. So if you're interested in finding out what's going on down there, there's still some opportunity to see that because they're still running through the rest of the day. Jeff, are you with us? There he is.
Mark, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
All right. Hey, Mark, I'm down here at the Middletown Sportsman's Club, and I'm having the time of my life. I've been here about a half hour. And the event coordinator here, Deadwood Stan, has been taking me down and around to the various stages that they have going on down here. And I just want to let you talk with him for a minute. He's just going to give you an overview of what's going on here today, and then I'll get back and tell you about some of my experiences. How's that?
All right. Deadwood Stan, I'm glad to have you on the show with Shooting from the Hip.
How you doing, Mark?
Hey, I am doing wonderfully.
This is Deadwood Stan. I'm president of Big Arms and match director for the SAS Midwest Regional, which is Guns of August that we have here at Middletown Sportsman Club. We have 315 shooters out this weekend. We got a group from Canada, got a couple Australians here, and we have about 25 states represented here this weekend.
Wow, that's super. So we even got some international shooters coming into Ohio today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're one of the SASs. The SAS is that stands for the Single Action Shooting Society. We're one of their seven regionals. 2007, we was voted Match of the Year, and we was the largest match in the United States that year.
Wow, folks, if you want to find out a little bit about what the Single Action Shooting Society is all about and what it goes on at a SAS match, there's not a better place in the country you can go to find out what that is.
Right. We're one of the best matches in the country. And we have our local club shoots here at the Middletown Sportsman Club the first Saturday of every month. And you're welcome. Anybody's welcome to come out and visit. Just walk around and watch us, see what it's about, you know.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about what's going on down there, what the events are that are going on this week.
Okay, we have 12 stages set up here. You have to have two single-action pistols, a lever-action rifle, and a shotgun, and you shoot all four guns on every stage. But on one stage, you might start with your rifle, go to your pistol, then go to your shotgun. You shoot 10 rifle, 10 pistol, anywhere from 4 to 6 shotgun on every stage, but you shoot them in a different order on every stage, so nothing's the same. You shoot for speed, the fastest time. You also shoot for accuracy. For every miss you have is a 5-second penalty.
So you can't miss fast enough to win, I guess, huh?
That's right. You gotta shoot fast, and you gotta shoot to hit the target. You know, we got guys who can take a single action pistol, which you have to caulk and shoot every time, that can hit 5 different targets in less than 2 seconds.
Wow, that is moving.
Yeah.
So this is all then from the ground?
All from the ground, yes.
Okay.
We have ladies. We start, Buckaroo class starts out at 8 years.
8 years old?
It's a family sport. You
Absolutely.
Know, the kids are involved. The wives, mothers are involved. It goes up to, we have what they call the Silver Seniors, which is over 70 years old class. We have a class just for about every age group and not anything you want to do, you know.
Well, that's super. Are you also doing a mounted down there this week?
We also got a mounted going. It's the first time we've had the mounted back in about 3 years. They have about, I think they had about 15 mounted shooters up there. We have had as high as 50 or 60. But it's just this is their first year back, and they'll be here from now on. The mounted thing will be over with today.
And is the whole event finishing up today, or is there another day going on tomorrow?
Well, it goes on to Sunday, but it'll be over with probably by 11:30 Sunday.
Okay.
If they plan on coming next year, Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays, you have 3 best days to come and watch the Guns of August.
Okay.
If they want to come, one of our regular monthly matches, the first Saturday of the month, we start at 10 o'clock, and we're usually done around 3 o'clock.
Okay, that's super. Hey, Deadwood, Stan, thanks so much for joining us on Shooting Up From the Hip, and we'll come back to you guys in a little bit because we want to talk to some other folks. Maybe we can get some of the folks that have shot, some of the families that are down there, and tell us what, you know, maybe they can tell us a little bit about what the Single Action Shooting Society is all about to them, how it's a family activity, and some of the things that go on. Like I understand there's some clothes that get dug out for these events that make things really give you the flavor of the Old West.
Okay.
Hey,
good
thanks.
Talking to you.
Thanks very much for calling. We've got some
You're
folks.
Welcome.
We've got some folks on the phone who want to have some questions, and we'll get to them right after the break. Ed, hang on just a minute, and we'll get back right after the break. If we're shooting from the hip, give us a call at 457-1290 at WHIO. Hey, welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery, your host, and I'm on with Jeff Pedro, who's down at the Middletown Sportsman's Club. And we've got some calls on the line. Let's take one here. Let's talk to Bill in Dayton. Bill, you have a question for us on concealed carry.
Yes, I do. You're out and about with a licensed concealed weapons, and you go to a restaurant that serves alcohol, and you lock your gun in a gun box in the trunk, and you decide to have a drink while you're in there, and you come back out and get in your car. Are you okay with your gun locked in the trunk, or do you need to strip the clip and empty the ammo?
Well, that depends on would you consider yourself impaired? I mean, if you're obviously able to drive, then you know you better not be impaired.
just one drink.
Yeah. That's not a problem as long as you're not impaired. And impaired is a kind of a soft standard, but it's the standard that is used, and you just simply can't be impaired. So if you've had one drink with dinner over an hour or so, you're probably fine. You could leave it in there. Actually, it's perfectly legal as long as you're not impaired to go retrieve the firearm and put it back in its holster where it belongs. So okay. That's not a problem. You just can't obviously be in the restaurant that way because they serve alcohol. And until we get HB 203 passed through the Ohio legislature and signed by the governor, then you won't be able to even carry in a restaurant whether you're drinking or not.
Okay. I have one more quick question. If you walk into a supermarket and they're serving alcohol for 50 cents a taste or something, are you okay or not?
Well, that depends on whether they have a license a Class D liquor license, and if it's like a wine tasting and that's not the area of the store that you're in, you're okay. If it's not posted, the chances are pretty good that you're all right.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thanks very much for giving us a call at AM 1290. 457-1290 is the phone number. If you'd like to be on the show, give us a call and we'll get you on. There's another question that we've got from Nick in Dayton who has a question on concealed carry signs. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, my question concerns the postings, the signs that are posted on buildings that you can't carry your firearm in.
Okay.
And if you disarm and walk into the store and something happens and you're harmed, is the store liable for that? Is it true or not?
There's actually a provision in the law that limits their liability whether there's a sign posted or not. That, as far as I know, has not yet been tested in court. And if that were to be the case, my personal opinion, which is not reflected in the law, but if somebody prevents you from being able to protect yourself, they have to assume that risk themselves. But the law currently doesn't state that. And on top of that, they actually do have a limitation on that kind of liability that because of the way the law was passed and complaints from people saying, we don't want to be liable for what happens for a concealed carry licensee coming into the store. Like, they also did not put any liability on the people who own the store.
Right, because I see that on Kroger's and Walmart, they don't post the sign. And I thought that may be why they don't do it.
Well, they also, they also don't post the signs because they recognize that your right to carry a concealed handgun after you've been licensed properly and trained, that they don't have a problem with that. So that's really the driver there as well. They support your right to keep and bear arms, and that's they are part of that and have done that as part of their corporate policy, that they're not going to prohibit people from carrying. They recognize that some of the best customers they're ever going to have are the most responsible citizens in the country, and that's the folks who carry concealed handguns on a regular basis. Hey, Jeff, are you still with us?
Yeah, I am, Mark. You hear me?
I certainly can.
Mark, I got to tell you, I've been here about 45 minutes, and I'm already hooked. I've been involved in the shooting sports for going on years, and I've never really got into the single action shooting society, but buddy, let me tell you, I'm going to get involved in it. I was just walking around or driving around in the golf cart with Edward Stan and looking at the various stages, and the first thing that jumped out at me was their safety and control stations.
Absolutely.
They have a station that you initially report to where you have to have your weapons inspected to make sure they're unloaded, and then you go through a loading process under the direct supervision of a safety officer, and then you go to your respective stages, and before you leave each of those respective stages, they make sure that the gun is safe so you can move on to the next station and go through that process again. Excellent safety protocols in place. And I just got to share with you some of the stage names, and you can just imagine what's going on here. The first stage is called the gallows, and they have a fabricated gallows where you have to go through, you have to climb up onto the catwalk, fire a variety of shots at a selected number of targets, and then you have to transition from your pistol to your rifle to your shotgun or any order. They have the wagon train station, the bank and barber station, the mine shaft station, the saloon station, the jailhouse station, and most interesting is the Manchester Hotel Station, which is named after a very historical hotel in downtown Middletown, and just a lot of fun things going on. and I'm walking around here, everybody's in Western garb. It's like I've immersed myself back in the early to mid-19th century in the Old West. I was a big fan of John Wayne Western movies, and it's like I'm in the middle of one of their sets right now, or actually in the middle of a Western town back in the early 1800s.
So you're a little out of place in that Sim Trainer t-shirt, are you?
Yeah, I'm a little out of place. There's no doubt about it. I'm probably one of only about 5% of the people who are not dressed in Western garb, and they're all having a great time. And one of the reasons we got involved with this radio show was to extend opportunities to shooting enthusiasts, and I just have to tell you, this is a great experience for people to get involved in, and I know you'll post some information on the website about some of the information we gathered here, but I want people to seriously look into it. If you have a chance to watch the Outdoor Channel on Wednesday evenings, they usually have at least once a month a segment related to single-action shooting society, and it's a lot of fun.
All right, Jeff, well, thanks very much for reporting from us down at the Middletown Sportsman's Club, and we're at the bottom of the hour, so give us a call at 457-1290 if you'd like to be on this show. You're at AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO. Welcome back to Shooting from the Hip. We're here in the studio today. Jimmy's taking your calls at 457-1290. And you can give us a call and get in the queue to talk and be up on the radio show. My name is Mark Avery. I'm your host for today. Jeff Pedro is with us down in Middletown at the Middletown Sportsman's Club for the Guns of the Old West and their regional quarterlies for the Single Action Shooting Society. This show is for you, the firearms enthusiasts out there. So call in with your comments and questions. If you have a question after the show and you want to call us at the range, the phone number is 293-3914, or you can email us at radio@sim-trainer.com. You can also find our show page website at sim-trainer.com/radio. And now there's also a link there that you can join our Facebook group for Shooting from the Hip listeners if you're already on Facebook. If you miss part of the show and you want to catch it after the show, you'll find it on our website also at that same page, sim-trainer.com/radio. And all of the shows are linked to that page. You can also subscribe to that feed as a podcast using one of many different podcast solutions. So if you're interested in following the show and you weren't able to catch us at between 2 and 3 Eastern time, you can always pick the show up after the fact. We usually get those posted, try to get them by the end of the weekend, but we always try to get them up before the next show is up. So you can subscribe to that and have them automatically downloaded to your MP3 player, or you can listen online at on the radio page. We've got full calls right now, so let's go talk to Joe in Brookville. Joe, you have a question about open carry?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Joe, give us what's your question? Thanks for joining the show.
Yeah, thanks for having us. My question is open carry, non-concealed, when you have your concealed weapon.
Yes.
I'm hearing a lot of pros and cons on it. Nugget guys are saying, well, I don't want anybody to know I have a weapon. And I want people to understand that I don't want to understand that I am carrying. What's the pros and cons on it? What's your feeling?
Well, certainly there's one of the downsides of carrying open is that you do make it more exposed. If somebody were to try to take your firearm, that it's much easier because they can see that it's there. There's a lot of people who yet don't quite understand that the right to keep and bear arms means that you have it with you. That's the bear part of keep and bear arms. And so there's people have just been kind of skittish about that. We've sort of lost our firearms heritage in this country, unfortunately, and that's one of the reasons why we started this show, to try to answer some of those questions and cut back on some of the myths about carrying a firearm and what kind of person it is that carries a firearm, and that they're really the most responsible citizens in the society overall. The people who have licenses to carry concealed handguns are even more responsible, more law-abiding than the average citizen by about a factor of 7, according to some tests or some studies. So that's part of the reason why we recommend that people carry concealed, simply because it cuts down on the stress of people around them who aren't that familiar with it. There is a question about whether or not it's more rapid access to your firearm, and that if you carry openly, then you can get to it more quickly. But frankly, if you practice well from whatever method of concealment that you use, that's really not a factor. You can get to your firearm very quickly from concealment if you carry in a method that that supports that. We don't really recommend an ankle holster for that reason, because it's very difficult to be discreet as you draw from an ankle, and it takes quite a bit more time to get down there. But many of the waist methods of carry, whether it be a fanny pack or an inside-the-waistband holster or an outside-the-waistband holster with some sort of a cover garment, now, whatever the method is that you would choose to carry, it's pretty quick. So there are a few slight advantages of carrying openly, and I know there are many advocates of doing that just to try to get people to recognize that good guys carry guns also. But frankly, I think that the disadvantages outweigh the advantages in most cases.
Well, thanks for your information. I appreciate you guys having the show, and have a good day.
Hey, Joe, thanks very much for calling. Let's go to Mike in Bellbrook, who has a question. Mike, you have a question on concealed carry?
Yeah, I sure. Yes, I sure do. And love the show.
Well, thanks very much.
Welcome. Concealed carry while hunting. In the beginning, the Department of Natural Resources forbade it. But last year, that law changed. And the last time I tried to read it and understand it, I was a little confused by when and how, and if it included the deer gun season.
Yes, it does include deer gun season. You are able to carry concealed. Obviously, you can't use your weapon for concealed carry as part of your hunting process. You have to keep the gun. It's for personal protection and personal protection only, so you can't use it for hunting. But if you look at the it's actually not a law. It's a DNR policy. So you can look at the hunting guide, the license manual that you get each year that they publish, the Ohio Department of Natural Resources publishes every year. And you can look at that, and it'll explain a little bit about what the actual requirements are. But basically, you can have your gun for personal defense, just as you would have to if you are stopped by a police officer, if you're stopped by one of the game wardens, and you need to in the official performance of their duties, you need to let them know that you're carrying a firearm. You have to have your license with you, as well as another piece of valid government-issued ID, a photo ID, in order to identify yourself. That's always the case. Anytime you're carrying concealed pursuant to your license, you have to have at least those two pieces of identification with you. But other than that, yes, you're able to carry your firearm for personal defense as you are hunting. You just can't use it in any way for hunting.
Great. Okay. One other quick question, if I may.
Sure.
I have also, in addition to Ohio residents, I have a couple non-resident permits. Is there a good source of information about how you should carry, whether you need to announce to a police officer in some state that you're traveling to?
Yes, there's several good sources for information. Handgunlaw.us is a good website that has summary. The NRA Institute for Legislative Action website, NRAILA.org, has a gun laws section, and they have a summary of each of the provisions of the different websites. Probably the best thing that you can do, though, is when you're going to travel to a state that recognizes one of the licenses that you carry, is to go to that state and read their provisions for the concealed carry, read their legislation, and make sure you absolutely know what the requirements are, what their legal requirements are for carrying in their place, where you can carry, especially where you cannot carry, any notification requirements and that sort of thing. Mike, thanks very much for calling and appreciate you joining the show. Let's go back to Jeff down in Middletown, because he's got some other stuff going on down there, and he wants, there's some folks he's got maybe queued up to talk to us a little bit. We've got just about 2 or 3 minutes that we can talk to him down there. Jeff, you on the line with us?
Yeah, Mark, I'm here. Hey, and I just want to, I'm going to give the phone to him in just a minute to Debbie Shum. He and Courtney, two of our members, are down here. They come down almost every Friday night for recreational shooting and practice shooting. And they're venturing out into this this realm, and I just want you to talk to her about why she's here and what she's seeing going on here. Here she is, Debbie Shum.
Hey, Debbie, thanks for joining the show.
Hi, Mark.
You guys having fun down there?
This is unbelievable. It is so cool. There are vendors. You park your car, and they pick you up on a truck that has a hayride on the back of it, and they bring you down to the area. And there are vendors that have everything, period clothing, guns, leather goods, everything. And then we've been from the first station, shooting station, to the last one. And it's just, everybody is so nice. We've met people from all over, I mean, Texas, all over the place.
They have nice people in Texas?
There are nice people in Texas.
Absolutely true.
But it's really, really a cool thing. We heard about it from you guys on the show last week, or week before. So we looked it up and popped it in the GPS and got down here. We didn't even know where it was. And Courtney's ready to do it.
He's ready to buy into the all the equipment necessary. It's not cheap to get started in. You have to have two single action revolvers and a shotgun and a rifle, a lever action rifle. But that's kind of the big upfront cost, and then you've got ammunition costs, and of course there's all the clothing. You got to be dressed right.
I know. There's only a handful of us that are not dressed properly.
you forgot to take the time shift down through the time machine back into the Old West, did you?
We did.
Well,
this is really, really, I would recommend anybody to come down and see it, because it's just really, really cool.
Well,
I mean, it's like you step back in.
It's like you step back into an old movie set, isn't it? Like into an old Western movie set.
It is. And I was a huge fan of John Wayne and Roy Rogers.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, they're all here.
Yeah, they're all here. In fact, there's probably somebody down there with the name Roy Rogers on their name tag. Even if they might not be shooting here, there are, you know, everybody in the Single Action Shooting Society picks up a name that is their moniker. It's not their real name. And, of course, we talked earlier with Deadwood Stan, and that's, you know, his SAS name, his SAS handle. So have you guys figured out what your SAS handles are going to be?
No. The one guy that Courtney was talking to said there's a website that you can actually go to.
That's right. That's sasnet.com.
Yes.
It's sasnet.com, and you can find out if a name that you'd like, you can do an alias lookup and see if that name that you want has already been taken by somebody. And then when you register, you can apply for a particular name. But each of those names there's several tests that they go through to make sure that name is valid. It can't sound like another name that's out there. You can't just add like a "the" in front of Deadwood Stan, and there's several requirements for it. So, yeah,
right.
you gotta spend some time going, you know, turning the creative juices on and coming up with a name for your SAS handle.
But this is fun. It really, really is.
Well,
I'm going to give you back to Jeff.
Okay, thanks. Anybody, if you're out there and you're interested in finding out more about the Single Action Shooting Society, you can go to sasnet.com, and we'll have a link up on our webpage after the show, probably tomorrow, to give you some more information about Single Action Shooting Society, about the cowboy action shooting. We're coming up on a break right now, so we'll... give us a call at 457-1290 if you'd like to be on the show. This is News Talk Radio WHIO. And welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery with Shooting From the Hip and Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor shooting range and training center. We'd like you to invite you to call to the show at 457-1290, and we'll try to get you up on the air. We've got several calls already, and Brenda is calling from Dayton. Brenda, you've been on the air for a while, or on the line for a while, and I want to thank you for holding on. Brenda, are you still with us? Nope, we lost her. I'm sorry. Okay, Steve, are you with us in Dayton?
Yes, I got the wrong call.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I had a question about the city of Dayton itself.
Uh-huh.
Several years back, they enacted some regulations that I'm not quite sure about. My daughter recently moved down there, and I need to know what she needs to do to qualify in the city to, you know, have a personal handgun in her home.
Okay. Nothing special. The law going into effect in March of 2007, we have statewide preemption, which means that only the state can enter the realm of firearms law. So none of the local communities, counties, cities, municipalities, townships can write law that has anything to do with restricting your right to keep and bear arms in the way you do that. Now, there were about 88 ordinances that were invalidated by that, and not all of them have been repealed. So there may be some dispute, but frankly, right now, it's pretty well understood that the state has the only authority to write any law that has to do with carry of firearms, whether it be in your home or the type that you can possess. There are no more ammunition type bans. There's no magazine capacity bans, firearms
exactly
type bans, or any of that.
Yeah,
that's correct.
That's exactly what I was concerned with. Was I believe at one time they had a 10-round during the Clinton situation. They had a 10-round limit on capacity and all that.
That's correct. There were some restrictions. There may still be some in ordinance, but they can no longer be enforced. There's really, when you talk about an ammunition capacity ban, it really makes no sense, because the whole point of having a magazine is that it makes it easy to reload. And you know, if you limit the number in the magazine, all that means is you just carry more magazines. And that's precisely what's happened in those places where people have used firearms inappropriately. They just have more magazines.
Well, you're speaking to an NRA endowment member, so you're pretty much preaching to the choir.
Well, it's just you and me and a few hundred thousand other folks listening in, so, you know.
Yeah. I was merely trying to make sure that she was not going to run into some bureaucratic snafu that, you know, should something happen, and, you know, God forsake, you know, they wouldn't, but I would feel much more comfortable were she protected. Now, do they still have to register that weapon with the city?
No, that's not required.
Okay. That's exactly what I was looking for.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
Steve, thanks so much for calling the show. We really appreciate you joining us for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290. Brian, we'll give you an opportunity. Brian's calling in from Urbana. You have a question?
Yeah, I just bought a DPMS AR-15.
Okay.
And I was wondering, do you guys offer courses on about how to field strip a weapon? Because I'm kind of intimidated by the whole process.
Yeah, if you've not handled an AR-15 type weapon before, the gas blowback M16 style action, it is a little bit intimidating. Actually, we do have, and we don't have any scheduled right now, but if you go out to our website, you'll see the rifle handling and marksmanship class, and you can sign up for that as interested and give us your information. And then as soon as we have one of those classes scheduled, we'll contact you and let you know when that's going to be. It's something that we've been trying to do. We have our instructor is now shipped out, and we're having to work around figuring out how we're going to do that. But we have several people that know how they operate and can teach classes. We have one guy who's an armorer who works on them quite a bit and has in the past conducted a class on just the operation, taking it apart, putting it back together, cleaning it, and maintenance of the AR-15 type action.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Hey, great. Thanks very much for calling the show. We really appreciate it. Mike in Dayton, you were in our First Shots class this morning, were you?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, hey, thanks for calling the show.
Well, you know, it's not the first time I've shot a handgun, but obviously, but it was really enjoyable to watch my wife and daughter shoot for the first time. And actually, my son kind of surprised me. He actually did better than I thought he would.
Well, thanks. Hey, thanks very much for calling and letting us and you know, sharing with people. Tell people a little bit of what you experienced down there at First Shots, and maybe some of the feedback that you got from the rest of your family. It is a really great way to get folks started into the shooting sports, isn't it?
Oh, I thought it was a great class. I think they were all really impressed with how well it was handled, and they definitely had a good time. They learned a lot. It's been a long time since I shot a handgun, and there were some things that were different than what I learned a long time ago, and there's some things I don't think I ever learned. And so it was good for me, too. But, I think you guys did an excellent job, setting the thing up and running the range. And, you know, safety was definitely the number one concern, and you could tell that by all the procedures. I think very well-run organization and a nice facility.
Well, Mike, thanks very much for calling. Would anybody who is interested in learning about shooting and has never had an opportunity to do that before, let me encourage you to sign up for a First Shots class. We have another one scheduled in September. So if you'd like to go to our website at sim-trainer.com, you can sign up for the First Shots class. Let's talk to Carl, who's calling in on a cell. You have a question?
Yes, sir. I ride in a wheelchair. I'm a post-polio victim.
Okay.
Is there any way that I could participate in some of these activities?
Absolutely, you can. Our range is not strictly accessible, but we do have ways to make that work. We've had, in fact, one of the guys that has come and shot in our Tuesday night league is in a wheelchair, and he does a great job. So, if just let us know when you're coming, and there's a place you can get in that's not curbed. There's no stairs, so that's not a problem. The problem is access to the range, but we can do that. We've got a big double door that we can help get you into the range, and then the stalls are wide enough for you to shoot, and that's not a problem.
Okay, one other curiosity. Is your website linked with WHIO Radio's website?
It is, absolutely. If you go to the Ask the Expert Weekend and you go to Shooting from the Hip show on Ask the Expert Weekend, you can click on our logo and it'll take you right to the sim-trainer.com/radio website. Folks, we are out of time. It is the coming up on the top of the hour. Thank you so much for joining us for Shooting from the Hip. Be back here next week when we'll be doing Shooting from the Hip on 2 o'clock on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.